بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continuing from where we left, from the statements of Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya hafidhaha Allah ta'ala fi kitabiha Nasihati lil-Nisa, in her book My Advice for the Women. We were reading, she was mentioning about the Sahaba and that they had great ambition, high ambitions and desires to reach the high ranks in the hereafter. She said, حفظه الله تعالى وقد كان الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم هممهم عالية لا يسألون إلا عن الجنة ولا يريدون إلا إياها. She mentioned that the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, their ambitions were very high and lofty, and they did not ask about anything except for paradise. They would always ask for that which is most beneficial for them and the means to obtain their main goal, which is the Jannah and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said they did not want anything besides this. And continuing her discussion and encouragement to have sincerity and purity of intention and the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and in the following of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to have al-ikhlas, al-niyyah, al-safiyah, al-naqiyyah, al-khalisa, lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to preserve the time, and to realize the reality that life is short, and that life is a test, and that the moments that an individual has in their life, they must take advantage of these moments, and every person's life is just a number of breaths, and not one of us knows whenever that last breath will come. So the one who is wise, the one who is successful, is the one who spends those breaths seeking the pleasure of the creator of that soul that breathes, the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the case of the companions, and they are our role models. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom qudwa to ahli sunnah. They are the qudwa to ahli sunnah. They are the role models for the people of the sunnah. She mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. She says, "Qala al-Imam al-Bukhari haddathani Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahim." قال حدثنا عفان ابن مسلم قال حدثنا وهيب عن يحيى بن سعيد ابن حيان عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن أعرابيا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال دلني على عمل إذا عملته دخلت الجنة. أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he mentioned that there was a desert Arab who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Lead me to something that I can do. Lead me to a deed and to an action. Direct me to an action that if I do it, I will enter paradise. Direct me to an action. If I do it, then I will enter paradise. دُلَّنِي عَلَى عَمَلٍ إِذَا عَمِلْتُهُ دَخَلْتُ الْجَنَّةِ." This is an indication here of the fiqh and the understanding of the Sahaba, that high and lofty understanding that Allah had blessed them with. And that is to know that paradise is not obtained by false hopes, but rather by actions. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has made means, He has legislated means that lead to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and He has legislated means that lead to the paradise. And likewise, there are means also that lead to His anger, paths and other ways and actions and statements that lead to the hellfire. The companions, they knew that it was the actions that Allah has legislated for them to perform in order to draw near to Him, in order to enter paradise. دلني على عمل إذا عملته دخلت الجنة. This Arabi, he says, show me a deed that if I do it, I will enter paradise. I will enter paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, قال تعبد الله لا تشرك به شيئا تقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتؤتي الزكاة المفروضة وتصوم رمضان. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he indicated this man رضي الله عنه to the pillars of Islam. He said that you must worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone with no partners. Worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone and do not associate any partners with Him. And establish the obligatory salat and pay the obligatory zakat and fast the month of Ramadan. And fast the month of Ramadan. This is the action that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told this man, that if he were to do this, he will enter paradise. That if he were to do this, he will enter paradise. قال والذي نفسي بيدي لا أزيد على هذا. The man, he said, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hands, I will not increase over this, and I will not do more. And I will suffice with this. فلما ولى الرجل قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من سره من ينظر إلى رجل من أهل الجنة فلينظر إلى هذا. Whenever the man, he turned away after saying this, he said, I swear by the one who my soul is in his hands, meaning I swear by Allah that I will not do more than this. And I will perform this here, this obligatory action here, which is the means to enter paradise, and I will not do more than that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whenever he turned away, that whoever would like to look at a man from paradise, from the people of paradise, from the people of Jannah, then look at this man here. Then look at this man here. Similar narrations have come like this. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been asked similar questions to show me some actions or deeds that will lead me to the paradise, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned to establish the obligations and stay away from the prohibitions, to establish the rights of al-Islam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this to a similar question like this, and he mentioned the same thing, that he will be from the people of Jannah. He said, أَفْلَحَ إِن صَدَقَ, that the one who said this, I will not do more and I will not do less. In one narration, the desert man, he said, I will not do more nor will I do less. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about him, أَفْلَحَ إِن صَدَقَ, that he will be successful if he is truthful. That he will be successful if he is truthful. Many narrations have come in this light, indicating that the one who establishes the pillars of al-Islam and he fulfills the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, or she, likewise, and he goes both ways, male and female, the one who performs the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and stays away from the prohibitions, he has the promise, or she has the promise of paradise. She or he has the promise of paradise. This likewise has come in the narration of Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, that he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحد بعدك. Tell me something about Islam that I will not have to ask anyone else beside you after this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. Say, I believe in Allah, and then be upright, and then be steadfast. يعني ربي الله. Say that my Lord is Allah, the one that I believe in and that I worship, is my creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alone with no partners, and then be upright. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ, and he be upright and steadfast upon his commandments and prohibitions. These narrations, and similar to these narrations, the ulama have established a great principle from the understanding of these texts. And that is that the one who performs the commandments and stays away from the prohibitions, he dies upon this way, believing in Allah Azza wa Jal, and what Allah has commanded to believe in, applying the commandments in his life and staying away from the prohibitions, then he has the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal to enter paradise. This is the one who has fulfilled the rites of Tawheed. This is the one who has stayed away from shirk entirely, major shirk and minor shirk, and the one who has stayed away from innovation entirely, and the one who has left off the sins, the major sins, and likewise the minor sins, seeking repentance often for the shortcomings, dying in this state, is the greatest honor and the greatest success. And the one who fulfills the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and stays away from the prohibitions, as is indicated from this narration and other narrations similar, they have the promise of entering paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His mercy and for His grace. So this was the point from the author to mention this narration is to show that this is what the companions, they ask for. This is what they're concerned about. This is what they're thinking of. This is what their minds are focused on. This is what their goal was, the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, how to get into paradise. Not how to get rich, not how to get a degree, not how to get this or how to get that. That's not the main goal. The main goal of the Sahaba and the main concern was something very lofty and high. And that was to fulfill the purpose that they were created for. And that is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone with no partners, following that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, drawing near to Allah Azza wa Jal and seeking His pleasure from the actions that are legislated and pleasing to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the ambition of the Sahaba, and this was their goal, and this was their main goal. And these companions, they are our role models. We should be like them. The author, she continues, hafidhah Allah ta'ala, to mention narrations indicating this issue from the companions, this time indicating that not only were the male companions having this high and lofty ambition, والهمم العالية, but likewise the female companions likewise, رضي الله عنهم جميعا, they have all had high ambitions, desiring the paradise, striving with their deeds and their actions in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal to seek His pleasure and His mercy and His reward of Jannah. The author, she mentions, قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثني إسماعيل قال حدثني مالك عن إسحاق بن عبد الله بن أبي طلحة عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أنه سمعه يقول كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ذهب إلى قباء يدخل على أم حرام بنت ملحان ف تطعمه وكانت تحت عبادة ابن الصامت. Anas ibn Malik is narrating that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would go to Quba. Some days the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go to Quba to pray there in that masjid. He even encouraged that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise to visit the companions in that area to check on them and the likes sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes he would go to Quba. Whenever he would go to Quba, he would go to the house of Ummi Haram, binti Milhan, radiyallahu anha, and she would feed him. And she was under the care of Ubadah ibn Samit. And not at the time of this narration, but later on. After some time, she married Ubadah ibn Samit, radiyallahu anhu. Here Anas, he mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, فَدَخَلَ يَوْمًا فَأَطْعَمَتْهُ. So he entered upon her one day on his trip to Quba, and she fed him. فَنَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took a nap, he slept. ثُمَّ اسْتَيْقَظَ يَضْحَكُ. And then he woke up laughing. قَالَتْ فَقُلْتُ مَا يُضْحِكُكَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. She said after this, what makes you laugh? Or what causes you to laugh, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Qala nasun min ummati uridu alayya huzatan fi sabilillah yarkabuna thabaja hadha al-bahr mulukan 'ala al-asirra mulukan 'ala al-asirra aw qala mithl al-muluki 'ala al-asirra yashukku Ishaq. She said, or the author mentioned the narration continues. She said, Haram radiyallahu anha, what causes you to laugh, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, there were a group of people from my ummah that were presented to me, meaning he saw them in his sleep. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a group of people were presented to me in my sleep, and they were ghuzat, and they were warriors, they were fighters. They were fighters in the path of Allah azza wa jal, soldiers in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And they are riding on the يَرْكَبُونَ ثَبَجَ هَذَا الْبَحْرِ. ثَبَج بِمَنَا الظَّهَرِ أو الوسط. يَرْكَبُونَ وَسَطَ الْبَحْرِ. They're riding in the middle of the sea. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seen people from his ummah. And he's seen them, they're soldiers, fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, riding in the middle of the ocean. Riding in the middle of the ocean. And he said that they are, how are they riding? Mulukan ala al-asirra. In the middle of the ocean, like kings on thrones. Like kings on thrones. Aw qala mithru أو قال مثل الملوك على الأسرة, or like similar to kings on thrones. One of the narrators, his name is Ishaq, he had a doubt about whether he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are kings on thrones, or they are similar to kings, or as if they are kings on thrones. قلت أمي حرام, أمو حرام, she says رضي الله عنها, I said أدعو الله أن يجعلني منهم, O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah, supplicate to Allah to make me from them, to make me from them. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's sleeping. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wakes up laughing, laughing from joy, laughing because he's happy, laughing from farah and pleasure, being pleased, rejoicing at what he saw. Allah azza wa jalla showed him in a dream that there will come a time there will be people from his ummah, they'll be riding in the middle of the ocean. They'll be riding in the middle of the ocean. What kind of people? There'll be soldiers fighting in the cause of Allah azza wa jalla, from his ummah, fighting in the cause of Allah azza wa jalla to spread the kalima la ilaha illallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he seen this in his dream. He woke up laughing from rejoice. Woke up laughing from rejoicing, and also from pleasure and happiness that his ummah would continue in this way after him until they reach the seas. Until they reach the seas, fighting in the seas. How are they fighting? Like kings on thrones. Like kings on thrones. And then whenever Umm Haram, she heard this, radiallahu anha, what did she do? Ask Allah to make me from them. Ask Allah to make me from those warriors and those soldiers that fight in the sea. That fight in the sea. The high ambitions of this woman, radiallahu anha, how she hopes to be from those people who work hard, strive hard in the path of Allah with their soul and with their property and with their wealth and with their life until they die. Reaching the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. O Messenger of Allah, udu Allah an yaj'alni minhum. O Messenger of Allah, supplicate to Allah and to ask Him to make me from them. To make me from them. The high ambitions of this woman. This is the point here, the author narrating this narration. The narration continues. Fada'a, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he supplicated. Thumma wada'a ra'sahu fanam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he supplicated as she asked, and then he laid down his head and he went back to sleep sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thumma istayqadha yadhhaku. Then he woke up again laughing. Faqultu ma yudhhikuka ya Rasulullah. So she said to him again, what causes you to laugh, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Qala nasun min ummati uridu alayya ghuzatan fi sabilillah yarkabuna thabaja hadha al-bahr mulukan 'ala al-asirra aw mithla al-muluki 'ala al-asirra. He said that verily there were people presented to me from my ummah again, and they are soldiers fighting in the path of Allah, riding in the middle of the ocean, kings, as if they are kings on thrones, as if they are kings on thrones. فَقُلْتُ, so I said to him again, Umu Haram, she says, I said to him, أُدْعُ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ. So she said, O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah, supplicate to Allah to make me from them. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت من الأولين أنت من الأولين. So the messenger said صلى الله عليه وسلم, verily you, O meaning Haram, you're from the first group. You're from the first group. And in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's seen two different groups. The first group and the second group. The first group and the second. The first ones that he's seen in his dream is a group of soldiers and a group of people from his ummah fighting in the ocean. And then he slept again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's seen another group. The second group is not the same group. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua for her on the first group. Whenever he saw it again, she said to him again, may ask Allah to make me from them. And so the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her that verily she's from the first group. That she is from the first group. فَرَكِبَتْ الْبَحْرَ فَرَكِبَتِ الْبَحْرَ زَمَنَ مُعَاوِيَةَ فَصُرِعَتْ أَنْدَابَتِهَا حِينَ خَرَجَتْ مِنَ الْبَحْرِ فَهَلَكَتْ. And what is mentioned about her, radiallahu anha, is that she rode in the sea. She rode in the sea in the time of Muawiyah. And whenever she was leaving from the ship, she got on her riding animal and it shook with her and she fell and she died. Radiallahu anha. She fell and she died. So she went on the sea in the battle with the soldiers. And then whenever they returned, she was going to ride off of the ship, radiallahu anha. and her animal moved with her and she fell. In one narration, duqat unuquha, that her neck broke, radiyallahu anha. But this was from the awwaleen, this was the first group that went. And here the narration, it says, فَرَكِبَتْ الْبَحْرَ زَمَنَ مُعَاوِيَةً, in the time of Muawiyah. Someone might understand from that this was in the time of the Khilafah of Muawiyah. But really this is in the Khilafah of Uthman. She died in the year 27 or 28, which was in the Khilafah of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan. And in the time of Umar, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhuma, he was trying to ask Umar to let them go into the sea. Let us ride into the sea. Let us take a group of army and let us battle and fight in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let us fight in the sea, in the ocean. Let us ride through the ocean. And Umar prohibited them. Umar radiallahu anhu, he prohibited them. And he tried, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, to allow them to fight and to travel in the sea in brigades, battalions, fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Umar, he prohibited them. Whenever he died, radiallahu anhu, and Uthman, he became the Khalifa, Muawiyah, he asked him again. He asked Uthman, radiallahu anhu, and Uthman, he allowed them. Uthman, he allowed them, and they went. And it's mentioned that on this particular trip here, Muawiyah, he was the Amir. He was the Amir, and Abu Dhar was with them. And other companions of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was with them. And they went from Medina to the Bahar. And it's mentioned that this ghazwa and this battle, it took place in a place called Qurbus. It was called in their time Qurbus Bissin. Now it's known as Qurbus Bissad. In English, it's called Cyprus. It's called Cyprus. It's in the Mediterranean Sea, right below Turkey. Below Turkey. So they traveled all the way to the sea in the area of Sham, and then in the area of Sham, and then rode on the ocean, fi sabilillahi azza wa jal. This woman, she went with them, Haram, binti Milhan, radiyallahu anha. The narrator of this narration is Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu. And it just so happens that Haram, hiya khalatu Anasin. Khala to Anas. What does that mean? She's the aunt from the mother's side. So that means that who is the of Anas? Sulaim. Sulaim. So the sister of Sulaim is Haram, radiallahu anhuma. Wa hiya zawja to Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhum jami'an. Radiallahu anhum jami'an. She heard about the virtue of these people. O Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, ask Allah to make me from them. She left her home. She's a woman. She left her home and her land and traveled with soldiers to the sea, and then in the sea to travel for the purpose of raising the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, La ilaha illallah, and spreading the truth and the haqq, and calling the people out of the darkness into the light of Al-Islam. This woman, this is the role model for the women. This is from the role models of the women. Likewise, the Sulaim, this is the role models for the sisters. These are your role models. These are the ones you want to be like. These are the ones who were successful. These are the ones who lived a life of piety and righteousness. And these are the ones who you want to follow. And you want to be like. You want to be like Haram. You want to be like Sulaim. You want to be like before that Aisha radiallahu anha and Khadija and Salama. You want to be like these great women. These great women, not like Beyonce, ya'adhan billah, these filthy women, disgusting women, with no shyness and no shame, with no shyness and no shame, with no iman. Be like the women who are righteous and pious, the women who believe in Allah in the last day, the women who guard their chastity, the women who are modest and pious, and they love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was those companions, sahabiyat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu as-sahabati jami'an. She says here, akhrajahu Muslim. This narration is found in Sahih Muslim. This narration is found in Sahih Muslim. Qawluhu, she's going to explain some of this narration. Qawluhu, mithla al-muluk ala al-asirrah. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described those people, those soldiers in the sea, riding ala thabaj al-bahar, a wasat al-bahar, in the middle of the ocean, he described them as they're like kings, al-asirra, الأسرة جمع سرير. الأسرة وسرور. يعني has the same meaning. سرير. Here it means a throne. A throne. قال الحافظ. قال الحافظ. الحافظ. Just a benefit. Because the author, she is a strong student, Allahumma barik, and she is a student of hadith, like her father. Like her father. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So some of the terminology that she uses, maybe some of the sisters are unaware of that. So as we go by, sometimes we will take a brief moment to clarify some of these, this mustarahat that she uses, or the terminology, so that it's clear. And from the benefit of studying mustalah al-hadith, or mustalahat al-ulama, is to be able to understand the intent from the ulama and their speech and in their works. So we see that a lot of times the ulama, they say this statement here, qala al-hafidh, al-hafidh. Al-hafidh, al-hafidh, it means the one who memorizes a lot. But here this is a laqab and a nickname. And if it's used generally, or muhammah like this, without the mention of anybody's name after, then the intent generally is al-hafidh ibn Hajar. Al-hafidh ibn Hajar. That the intent is Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And also if it comes in this manner like this, Qala al-Hafidh. If it's mentioned like this, Qala al-Hafidh. Hafidh, he said, yani ibn Hajar, he said. Where did he say that at? The intent here again will be in Fath al-Bari. Fath al-Bari. Fi sharh Sahih al-Bukhari. Fath al-Bari, sharh Sahih al-Bukhari. There's the greatest book of hadith is the book of Al-Bukhari. It's narrated here. This narration is there. And she said also, and أخرجه وأخرجه Muslim. Likewise, it's narrated in Muslim. So if the hadith is in Bukhari and a person wants to find the understanding, the best explanation of Sahih Bukhari is this explanation, Fath Al-Bari, by Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Ahmad ibn Ali ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 852. This is from the greatest of the works of hadith. From the greatest of the works of hadith, explanation of hadith. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar. He died in the year 852. He gathered everything from the ulama of hadith before him in this explanation. All of the previous ulama who have explained and spoken about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gathered all those statements. He gathered all those statements and he picked the best of them. And then he selected them and he put them in this work here. And then sometimes he would even correct some of them. And he would mention the statements of them and mention which one is the best. And sometimes he would redirect them and mention even a more correct opinion. And the likes like this. And he would mention many of the ulama who have preceded him. So he came with this work, Fath al-Bari, Sharh Sahih al-Bukhari. And he gathered all of the statements of the ulama who preceded him with regards to the clarification and the meanings of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Specifically in Sahih Bukhari, but mentioning many other narrations in his explanation. Mentioning other narrations from other works, explaining these narrations in this work. And from the statements of the ulama, until that it became now, from him gathering all of this information from those who preceded him, from the Salaf before him, it had become a reference point for all of the ulama after him. For all of the ulama after him. Anybody who wants to understand the narrations, the ulama, they rely upon the explanation of Ibn Hajar, the best explanation for Sahih Bukhari. She said here, وَأَخْرَجُهُ Muslim. That's the second most authentic book. She's mentioning the explanation here from Al-Hafidh in Fath al-Bari. But for example, if the hadith was in Muslim and we wanted to have an understanding of that hadith, where would we look? Speaking about Sharh or Shuruhat. The best explanation of Bukhari, Fath al-Bari, li Ibn Hajar. And the best explanation of Muslim, النووي شرح النووي شرح صحيح مسلم للحافظ النووي. He died in 676. Now, so she says, قال الحافظ, meaning in فتح الباري, قال ابن عبد البر. الله أكبر. Ibn Abd al-Barr. Here, حافظ ابن حجر, he is narrating or he is transmitting the statement of Ibn Abd al-Barr, another great scholar of hadith, another great scholar of hadith, Abu Umar ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki. Qurtubi, he lived in the area of Morocco or Tunis in this area, in Qurtuba, which is around Tunis, and it's called Al-Maghrib Al-Arabi, in the area of Morocco and Tunis in these areas. He has another great work of hadith that Hafidh ibn Hajar is narrating from here. It's called Al-Tamhid. التمهيد. These are from the greatest of the explanations of the books of hadith. She says here, قال الحافظ قال ابن عبد البر. So الحافظ that's in Fath al-Bari, ابن عبد البر, he got this from الله أعلم التمهيد, either التمهيد or الاستذكار. أراد والله أعلم أنه رأى الغزاة في البحر من أمته ملوكا على الأسرة في الجنة ورؤياه وحي. وقد قال الله تعالى في صفة أهل الجنة على سرور متقابلين, وقال على الأرائك متكئون, على الأرائك متكئون. والأرائك السرور في الحجال, السرور في الحجال. So the Hafiz is transmitting from Ibn Abd al-Barr رحمهم الله تعالى. He said that the intent, and Allah knows best, that whenever he saw those soldiers riding in the ocean from his ummah as if they are kings on thrones, Ibn Abd al-Barr, he said this means in Jannah. They were riding on the Bahar, but he saw them as if they are kings on thrones, meaning that because of their deeds they are in Jannah. They are kings on thrones. They are kings on thrones in Jannah. And he said, rahimahullah, that the vision or the dreams of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are revelation. So that means that these people, they're from the people of Jannah, and according to this understanding. And Ibn Abd al-Barr, likewise, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that Allah, he said about the attribute of the people of Jannah, or the characteristic, or one of the states that the people of Jannah they are in, ala sururin mutaqabilin, that they are on thrones facing one another. That they are on thrones facing one another. And another, he mentioned likewise, and Allah mentioned about them in his book, wa al araiki mutaqiun, and they are on thrones relaxing in Jannah. This is from the description of the people in Jannah, that Allah describes them that they are relaxing on thrones. They are on lofty thrones. Ara'ik, he says, they are surur fil hijal, that these are thrones that are in canopies, and they're lofty and high. They're up high in canopies. And then the other ayah, that they are sitting on thrones facing one another. That they are sitting on thrones facing one another. These thrones that are decorated and adorned, and they're beautiful. Thrones that are high and lofty in paradise. Thrones muzakhrafa, mujammala, muzayyana. They are adorned with beauty and all types of luxurious luxuries and the likes like this. Very beautiful thrones that we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine. And that they are sitting on these thrones in muttaqiun, relaxing. The people in Jannah, they have peace and they have relaxed. They have peace and they have relaxed and they're enjoying. This is the case of those people that strove in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ مِثْلَ الْمُلُوكِ مِثْلَ الْمُلُوكِ عَلَى الْأَسِرَّةِ. Like they are kings on thrones. Like they are kings on thrones. And the other verse Allah that the Ibn Abd al-Barr, he mentioned here, عَلَى السُّرُرْ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. They're on thrones facing one another. Facing one another. This indicates the great harmony that they have and the love that they have for each other in Jannah. They don't have their backs to each other. متقابلين على سرور متقابلين. نعم, they're facing each other. This is how Allah described them, that they're on thrones relaxing, sitting back facing one another. They don't have any hardship, they don't have any enmity in their hearts, they don't have any jealousy in their hearts for one another like they may have had in the dunya. Sometimes shaitan, he causes remorse and hardship in the hearts of the believers, making them have hatred one towards the other, or have animosity or envy or some type of ghil and hiqd and the likes like this in the hearts of the believers, one even towards the other, one towards his brother or his sister. But in paradise, this is gone. In paradise, this is gone. Allah, he mentioned about that. He said in his book, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ. Before they entered the paradise, Allah, he mentioned about that, and we have stripped from their hearts, from their chest, what they have from anger, from hatred and rancor. إِخْوَانٍ عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. That they will be brothers. They will be brothers on thrones. They will be brothers on thrones sitting facing one another. And if they will be facing one another, this is to indicate the good manners that they have with each other. They don't turn their backs on each other. They're brothers. They're brothers in deen. Brothers in Islam. Brothers in tawheed. Likewise, sisters. Brotherhood, sisterhood. It's the same meaning. الأخوة. الأخوة الإيمانية الإسلامية السلفية. Brothers and sisters, sisterhood, brotherhood for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what it indicates here. They're on thrones facing one another because of the honor that they have for one another and the love and the respect and the good manners they have with one another. They don't turn their backs on each other. They don't turn their backs on each other. They have complete honor and respect for one another, facing each other on thrones. Facing each other on thrones. Allahu Akbar. So she continues mentioning the statement, or from the transmissions of Hafidh al-Hafidh in Fath al-Bari. She says, وَقَالَ عِيَاد وَقَالَ عِيَاد Al-Qadi Iyad Hada. This is Qadi Iyad. He died in the year 545, or taqriban hakada, 500 and something. He also has an explanation of Sahih Muslim. He's also explained many of the hadith. He's narrating from him now, or transmitting. هَذَا مُحْتَمَلٌ وَيَحْتَمِلُ أَيْضًا أَنْ يُكُونَ خَبْرًا عَنْ حَارِهِمْ فِي الْغَزْوِ مِنْ سَعَةِ أَحْوَالِهِمْ وَقِوَامِ أَمْرِهِمْ وَكَثْرَةِ عَدَدِهِمْ وَجَوْدَةِ عُدَدِهِمْ فَكَأَنَّهُمُ الْمُلُوكُ عَلَى الْأَسِرَّةِ Al-Qadi Iyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's mentioning here that the meaning that they are throne, they're like kings on thrones, is that they are like kings on thrones, meaning, and this is information about their situation and their battle, and why they're on the sea. That's exactly their situation, and that's how they are, because of how well equipped they are. Even in their battle, whenever they're traveling in the ocean, they are well equipped with much equipment and much gear. And weapons and the likes like this, and it's very good, and they're very nice and high status. So it's as if they are kings, as if they are kings on thrones, meaning because of the amount that is with them, and the military equipment that they have with them, and all of the good that they have with them on their journey. It's as if they're kings on thrones. So the difference between the two, Ibn Abdul Barr, he mentioned that's referring to them in the hereafter. And understanding who are the, or the sharh, or the explanation of Al-Qadi Iyad, this is referring to their situation actually in the battle, in this life. قُلْتُ, this is Ibn Hajar, he says, قُلْتُ وَفِي هَذَا الْاحْتِمَالِ بُعْدٌ وَالْأَوَّلُ أَظْهَرُ So Ibn Hajar, he mentions his opinion after mentioning those two opinions, and he says, this option or possibility is far-fetched, yani that the one that Al-Qadi Iyad mentioned. And that the first one is more proper. So Ibn Hajar, he's of the opinion that this is referring to them in the hereafter. They're like kings on thrones, meaning in the hereafter. Al-Qadi Iyad, he died in the year 544. Rahimahullah ta'ala. طيب, so the author now, she says, قَالَ أَبُو عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ الْوَادِعِي أَبُو عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ الْوَادِعِي Who's that? Al-Wadi'i. الشيخ مقبل ابن هادي الوادعي أبو عبد الرحمن She's referring to her father. She's referring to her father. And this is good manners here. She's referring to her father, mentioning him by his kunya. There's a benefit here likewise, and that is that the people of Hadith, Anul Hadith, back to the Sahaba, when they want to honor somebody, they refer to them by their kunya. They call them by their kunya. From a means of respecting somebody and showing them honor, you call them by their kunya. Whether it's a male or a female, this is something by showing honor. This is from the way of the Sahaba. That even we see in the narration of Haram. Haram, this is a kunya. And she is the sister of Sulaim. What are their names? We know them by their kunya. Naam, in the previous narration was by Abu Huraira. And this is a kunya likewise. And many of the companions, they are known by their kunya more often, or more famous by their kunya. Some maybe don't even know the names of some of them, but they know the kunya. And likewise, some of the tabi'een and the atba' tabi'een and the likes like this. But in any case, this is a sign of respect and a sign of good manners to call on somebody by their kunya. You want to show them respect, call them by their kunya. Maryam, Abdurrahman, Abdullah, like this. Zaid, whatever the case may be, whatever the name may be, call the sister by her kunya, or the brother likewise, Abu Abdurrahman. You say, Ya Abu Abdurrahman, oh Ya Abu Bakr, oh whatever the case may be, like this, Ya Abu Zaid, oh, whatever the case may be, Ya Abu Maryam, Ya Abu Khadija, like this. This is showing good manners, as she is doing here, being the role model. Qudwa. Qala Abu Abdurrahman al-Wadi'i. رحمه الله. بل الاحتمال الذي قاله عياض رحمه الله أقرب، إذ قالت أم حرام في الثانية: أدعو الله يا رسول الله أن يجعلني منهم، فقال: أنت من الأولين، فكانت منهم. So she says, that her father says, Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Wadi, يعني Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah, he says here that rather the first, the option or the possibility that al-Qadi Iyad, he mentioned rahimahullah, is closer to that which is correct. Which is the position of that? The whole dars right now is about the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mithla al-muluk ala al-asirra, or al-maluk ala al-asirra, that they're like kings on the thrones. Those soldiers who went into the sea, like kings on thrones. So here, Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala, he is mentioning and agreeing with Qadi Iyad that what is being referred to here is that this was their state in battle, and that this was their state as they were in the ocean in battle, that they were like kings on thrones because of the majority of them, and their numbers were great, and likewise their supplies and their weapons and their equipment was of the best quality, and the likes like this, as if they're kings on thrones riding through the ocean. But Allah knows best. Both possibilities could be correct. If that's the case, they were like that in this life, kings on thrones, then in the hereafter, inshallah, they would definitely be kings on thrones. They would definitely be kings on thrones in Jannah, as Allah mentioned about the people in Jannah, عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ عَلَى الْعَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ. And Allah knows best. So the author, she continues, she says, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَدَبِ الْمُفْرَدِ. She mentioned the page number. Here previously she says only قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي and the past narration. And this narration she says قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي فِي الْأَدَبِ الْمُفْرَدِ. And the last narration she didn't say فِي صَحِيهِ or فِي صَحِيهِ الْبُخَارِي. Because generally, again, from the terminology of the ulama, if they use it like this in the absolute sense, they say قَالَ الْبُخَارِي الْإِمَامُ الْبُخَارِي قَالَ يعني أو روى narrated الإمام بخاري, he mentioned or he narrated, and they don't mention any other book. What is intended by that is صحيح البخاري. It's صحيح البخاري. This is the way of the ulama, that whenever they speak, if they ascribe a narration to Bukhari and they don't mention any other book, they said that Bukhari, he narrated this, meaning in his authentic collection. And if they narrated a narration from Bukhari outside of Sahih Bukhari, they'll mention the name of the book, as she has done here, making it specific, because the narrations in Sahih Bukhari are of the highest level of authenticity. And other narrations he narrated in other books that he has, like Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, some of them do not reach that authenticity, although they may be authentic, but they're not of the same authenticity, of the same status or authenticity as the narrations that he narrated in Sahih Bukhari. So when a person, he narrates a narration from Al-Bukhari that's not in his Sahih, then they must mention where that book came from, or where that narration came from. What is the book? Is here like she mentioned here, في الأدب المفرد. في الأدب المفرد. So she says, الإمام البخاري, he narrates في الأدب المفرد. الأدب المفرد. What is that? It's a book of manners. It's a book that الإمام البخاري, he wrote all about manners, only about etiquettes and manners. So he wrote in Sahih al-Bukhari, he wrote a book, Sahih al-Bukhari, about all different aspects of the life of a Muslim, from creed and belief to tahara and salat, from marriage into explanation of tafsir of the Quran, many different chapters to clothing and drinks, chapters of ashriba. There's the chapter of ta'bir, ru'ya, of explaining dreams, many different chapters. Even in Sahih al-Bukhari, there's chapter kitab al-adib, the chapter of manners. But because of the importance of manners, not only did the ulama, they write in their collections of the hadith, all of the, in the kutub al-sunnah, you'll find a chapter about manners. Even after, during that, some of them even found the great importance and the status of manners in Islam and etiquettes, that they will, even after putting that in their books of sunnah, they'll make a single book like this one. إني إفراد كتابا مستقلا في هذا الباب. That's what he did, and he called it الأدب المفرد. المفرد means singled out, specifically about manners. This book is only about manners, indicating the importance of learning manners. and etiquettes. If we ponder over this work here, and I indicated to that before by looking at the fihris and the index in the back, how this book in reality, Nasihati lin-Nisa, is a book of manners, book of etiquettes. Right now we're learning the etiquettes of ikhlas and sincerity, and being sincere with Allah Azza wa Jalla and truthful. The etiquettes of taking care of one's time and having a strong hope in the reality of meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and not being misled from the glitter of this life. This is from the manners that a believer he has, that he deals with himself or herself in this life. That they are not tried or tested by the delight and the joys of this life, rather they use them to get to the hereafter and to the goal. But here, the point is here, the Adab al-Mufrad, that this is a book about manners, indicating that the ulama, they have great concern, authoring many works about manners, because learning the proper manners is very important. Very important. Knowledge without manners is harmful. It's harmful for the person and for the people that person come in contact with. So she says, he mentioned here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, حَدَثَنَا قُرَّةُ إِبْنُ حَبِيبٍ قَالَ حَدَثَنَا إِيَّاسُ بْنُ أَبِي تَمِيمَةٍ عن عطاء بن أبي رباح أن عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال جاءت الحمى إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Here's the narration of أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. He said that the حمى, it came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What's the حمى? الحمى ارتفاع الدرجة, ارتفاع درجة الجسد. حمى, when the body temperature raises. What do they call it?
Fever.
It's a fever. The fever came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now pay attention. The fever came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فقالت, and it said to him, ابعثني إلى آثار أهلك عندك. He said the fever came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, send me to the one you most prefer from your people, the most preferable and most beloved to your people. Pay attention. There's wisdom in the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The humma came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is, we believe in that. It came. It spoke to him. We don't say how. Allah, he has the ability to do all things. This is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This narration is authentic. The humma was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it said to him, send me, point me to the ones you love most. Athari ahlika. Ay, afdal indak. Aladina tufadiluhum. Those who you prefer. So who did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send them to? He said, فَبَعَثَهَا إِلَى الْأَنصَارِ. So he sent the humma to the Ansar. Send me to those who you love the most. So he sent it to the Ansar. He sent the fever. The fever, this is a sickness. A sickness. He sent it to the Ansar. Indication of that he was first asked to send me to the most beloved. The Prophet ﷺ go to the Ansar. Indication of how the rank and the status and the love of the Prophet ﷺ for the Ansar. It's also been narrated that the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned from the narration of Anas about the Ansar, he said, Ayatul Iman, Hubbul Ansar. Ayani Alamatul Iman, the sign of faith is the love of the Ansar. Wa Ayatul Munafiq, Ayatul al-nifaq, bughd al-ansar. And the sign of hypocrisy is to detest and dislike the Ansar. The Prophet, he loved the Ansar. And he said the sign of belief and true faith is to love the Ansar. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they were weak in Mecca. And they were being tortured and they were being harmed. And they were attempting to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they were oppressing them. And they were stopping the da'wah. And then Allah sent to him the Ansar. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the bay'ah and the oath with the Ansar. And they took the allegiance to give their life and fight for him. That's whenever they became strong. And then he made hijrah to Medina. And then he had a dawla. He had a kingdom that he's ruling in. And they established the Salat. And they established the Jumu'ah. And they established the Zakat. And they established the Siyam. And they established the Deen. And it spread from there. From the aid of the Ansar. From the aid of the Ansar. So the sign of the Ansar, the love of them is a sign of Iman. So here is an indication. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loves them. The humma said to him, send me to the most beloved of the ones you prefer the most from your people. He sent them to the Ansar. So the narration continues, فَبَقِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ سِتَّةَ أَيَّامٍ وَاللَّيَالِيَهُنَّ. So the fever, it stayed amongst the Ansar for 6 days and nights. فَاشْتَدَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And then the fever became very severe with them. فَأَتَاهُمْ فِي دِيَارِهِمْ And so the Prophet ﷺ, he came to them in their homes, each one of them to the Ansar in their homes. At this time in the Medina, there's the Ansar and there's Muhajirun. They're all living together. The fever, it went to the Ansar. And then it became very severe for them in 6 days and nights. And then the Prophet ﷺ, out of his love for them, likewise in concern and his mercy, he went to them in their homes, into their homes. فَشَكَوْا ذَٰلِكَ إِلَيْهِ So they complained and they mentioned that to him, that they were experiencing much pain from this fever. فَجَعَلَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَدْخُلُ دَارًا دَارًا وَبَيْتًا بَيْتًا يَدْعُو لَهُ بِالْعَافِيَةِ And so the Prophet ﷺ, he began to enter each house, home by home, one by one, making supplication for them to have cure, to be cured, بِالْعَافِيَةِ, to be cured and to be safe. Naam. And then here the point the author mentioned in this narration, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he mentions here, this is the point of the author. فَلَمَّا رَجَعَ تَبِيَتْهُ أَمْرَأَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ Whenever the Prophet ﷺ, he returned, so he came, he went to each house supplicating for them to be cured. Then whenever he left sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a woman followed him. تَبِيَتْهُ أَمْرَأَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ A woman from amongst the Ansar followed him. فَقَالَتْ وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ إِنِّي لَمِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ وَإِنَّ أَبِي لَمِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ And she said to him, she followed him after that, and she said to him, I swear by the one who sent you with the truth, that verily, truly, I'm from the Ansar, and also my father, he's from the Ansar. فَادْعُوا اللَّهَ لِي كَمَا دَعَوْتَ لِلْأَنْصَارِ So supplicate for me as you supplicated for the Ansar. So he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال, مَا شِئْتِ إِن شِئْتِ دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُعَافِيَكِ وَإِن شِئْتِ صَبَرْتِ وَلَكِ الْجَنَّةِ So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told her, he said, if you like, I will call on Allah for you to cure you. But if you like, you can be patient and you will have Jannah. He gave her two options. If you like, I will do as you requested and I will ask Allah to supplicate for you as I asked Allah to supplicate for the Ansar. But if you like also, you can be patient and you're guaranteed Jannah. So she said, قَالَتْ بَلْ أَصْبِرْ She said, rather I will be patient. بَلْ أَصْبِرْ Rather I will be patient. وَلَا أَجْعَلُ الْجَنَّةَ خَطَرًا And I will not jeopardize or put my Jannah at risk. She said, rather I'll be patient. I will be patient. And I will not put my paradise, my Jannah, and the opportunity to enter Jannah at risk. This is the point here to show the ambition and for the hereafter and the desire for the hereafter and the ability because of strong iman to bear hardship for the desire and the hope in the hereafter. And this is the way of the companions. So she says, "Wal hadithu sahihun kama fi sahih al-Musnad." And she mentions, and this hadith also is authentic just as in Sahih al-Musnad. And another book this is referring to here, As-Sahih al-Musnad is a book authored by her father. Whenever he mentioned narrations that are not in Bukhari and Muslim, that are also authentic. And in narrations that al-Imam Muqbil ibn Hadi, Al-Wadi'i rahimahullah authenticated himself. So this is authentic narration according to Al-Imam Al-Wadi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. So she says, فَمَوْكِفُ الصَّحَابَةِ عَجِيبٌ تَحَمَّلُوا الْأَمْرَاضَ وَالْجُوعَ وَالْمَشَاقَ وَمَفَارَقَةَ الْأَوْطَانِ وَالْأَحِبَّةِ وَوَاجَهُ الْكُفَّارَ بِالسُّيُوفِ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ ابْتِغَاءً مِنْهُمْ لِلْأَجْرِ وَالثَّوَابِ وَالْجَنَّةِ So she said, so the stance of the companions is amazing. And the position of the Sahaba is amazing, how they would bear disease and sickness and hunger and all different hardships and difficulties, leaving their homelands, leaving their beloved ones, and facing the disbelievers with swords. And other than that, for the cause of Allah Azza wa Jalla, all this hoping for the reward and the promise of paradise. All of this hoping for the reward and the promise of paradise. But there are, so the point here is to see the ambition and courage and the high love for the pleasure of Allah of this woman. How she preferred sickness and Jannah. Sickness now and Jannah later over the cure, the healing now and to jeopardize. She could still be from the people of Jannah, but she wouldn't have that promise. Now she has to keep the promise of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are many benefits from this narration, and from them is that we see that some people think that trials and calamities they have misunderstanding. Rather, the Prophet was asked, or he was told by this fever, that to send me to the one you love the most. So we see that the benefit from this is, may Allah bless you and increase you in good and understanding in His deen, is that sometimes we are tried with calamities, hardship and difficulty and wealth or family members or sickness or whatever the case may be, hardship, something that someone does not like, difficulty, to be strained up, tense, things aren't working right, whatever the case may be, if a person has Iman and he deals with this according to the legislation, following the usul of Iman with belief in Allah, belief in the meeting of Allah, belief in the last day, belief in the angels that they're taking down my deeds and that what I say and do will be held, I will be held accountable. So I wouldn't want to say anything that would cause my Lord and Creator to be upset with me. Like this, even in a calamity, he would submit. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ Allah says, and whoever believes in Allah, then He will guide his heart. So in the time of calamity, this would be a means for Allah to raise that person's rank. To be a means for Allah to raise that person's rank. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he was sick and he was dying, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in much pain. He was in much pain himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he seen him and he said, "You are in much pain. I see you are in much pain." Radiallahu anhu, and he said this, and he seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in hardship and difficulty. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "No, let me tell you." He said, "Ma min Muslim yusibuhu adhan illa hatallahu." He said, "There is no," the Prophet ﷺ, he's in pain himself from sickness. And he said about this, he said, "There's no Muslim that hardship afflicts him except that Allah will wipe off his sins just like the leaves of the tree fall off. One by one by one by one by one. One by one by one by one by one." Like this. This is from the difficulty. This is from the difficulty. Likewise, this is in Bukhari and Muslim. Likewise, another narration from Abi Sa'id and Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, I mentioned in closing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ma yusibul muslima min nasabin wala wasabin wala hammin wala huznin wala adhan wala ghammin hatta shawka yushakuha illa kaffarallahu biha min khataya." Allahu Akbar. The narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that nothing inflicts a Muslim, and the Muslim, the one who bears it properly, he deals with the infliction properly according to what is pleasing to Allah azza wa jal, the best of his ability. Nothing inflicts a Muslim from hardship or being tired, difficulty, or from disease or sickness, or from concern or worry, or from grief or from hardship, not even a thorn pricking him, except that Allah Azza wa Jal, He will expiate his sins for this. He will make that a means to expiate his sins. So this is the opportunity for a believer to remember that whenever hardship comes, if they deal with it in the right manner and with sincere faith and iman in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is a means for the expiation of sins. And whenever the sins become expiated, that means that person, his rank likewise becomes high. He becomes clean and pure again. He becomes clean, or she becomes clean and pure again, and having a new opportunity to please Allah Azza wa Jalla. So these are indications that a believer will be patient. A believer will be patient. So the author, she says, "Amma nahnu." Yani this is how the companions were. We close with this here. The companions were. They said this. This is how the example of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, "Amma nahnu fa ila Allahi mushtaka." As for us, then Allah, we complain to Allah alone. مسألة الإعداد للآخرة والجد في ذلك عزيز عند كثير من الرجال فضلا عن النساء. She said, "And to Allah, as for us, and we complain to Allah. As for the issue of preparing for the hereafter and being serious about that, then this is something that is rare with many of the men." So what do you think about the women? إِلَّا مِنْ رَحِمَ رَبِّي Except for those who my Lord has showed mercy to. We ask Allah to show mercy to us. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ Verily, He is the Almighty and the Most Merciful. We ask Allah to have mercy on us and to make us from those who prepare for the hereafter, who benefit from this life and preparing for the meeting of Allah with sincere faith and sincere iman. And I ask Allah to make our hearts full of the light of iman and the light of sincerity and the light of truthfulness, and to fill our hearts with the light of faith, sincerity, and certainty in His promise. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.